for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Saturday morning service of November the 25th, 1995, of the Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Kyle Palmer is the speaker for the morning.
Kyle Palmer is going to come minister this morning. We've gotten, he's been helping us, helping me for a long time. He's been helping in the ministry for the last several camp meetings. And Kyle,
yes.
He's gotten letters back from places where your tapes have gone, saying how much they appreciated the ministry that was on the tapes that the Lord's given you. So we bless you this morning as you come and minister the word of the Lord.
Oh, Father, we bless you. You are so good to us. Lord, give us hearts that are conformable to your will. Hearts, Lord, that are obedient to you. They're sensitive to your presence, sensitive to your spirit. That will learn to reverence your movings. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this. Have your lordship here, Holy Spirit. Your word says, where you rule as Lord, there is liberty. We thank you. Receive the ministry of you to us, revealing Jesus. You said you didn't come to glorify yourself, but you came to glorify Jesus. We thank you, Father. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit back to us, not only to be with us as Jesus was with the disciples, but to be in us, a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. It is a good day today. Amen. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Even though we can all look back and see times when we've been unfaithful, but can we look and find any time that he's been unfaithful to us? We can look and see times when our heart has been drawn out to other things other than him. But has he ever set us aside and said, I'm tired of you? Forget it. I think of the extent that he went to redeem us by sending his son. I can't fathom that one yet. Every once in a while I get a glimpse of it, but I can't fathom it. So the depth of the wisdom, knowledge of God. Christ is all our understanding. I pray that we might know the breadth, the width, the height, the depth of the love of God which passes all knowledge. Why? That we may be filled with all the fullness of him. I had no intentions of speaking when I came up this time. Some of y'all may relate. I've been pastoring a church now for about a year and a half. And I began reflecting on it this morning. And I looked at how the church was when I got there. We had three men that all believed that God had called them to be the pastor. And then here I come. We had one man, well, Lord, help him. The church had been busted up and split up by different doctrinal disputes. It was so cold and it was so hard. It was 4 months before anybody even laughed in the building. And I'm not talking about during a service. I'm talking about after a service. I would stand up there and it was like talking to a wall. Oh, my. Anybody ever been there? And so I had a house full of broken and hurting people. And I thought, oh God, what have I got myself into? And then I began to think about it. And I thought, Lord, what you have entrusted me with to minister to a bunch of broken people. And I looked at it and I thought, man, forget this place. I don't want to be here. They don't respond right away. They're hard-hearted. They want to bite.
Thank you.
dead serious now. But then I thought, well, who's going to reach them? And I thought, well, I'll just go on to something bigger and better. Forget these people. Selfish me sometimes, huh? He says he won't put on us any more than we can bear. What do we do with these difficult people that we encounter? What do we do with them? You know what our natural tendency is, don't you? What if the Lord had done that with us? Well, sometimes we get tired, and I was tired. I said, Lord, I just need a little refreshing. I need to rest a little while. But you know, I've been seeing fruit. God's healed a couple of people. I mean, sometimes we, you know, I've been to a lot of the charismatic service. You know, claim you're healed in Jesus' name. Confess it, believe you're healed. You know, the little quick prayer. You want to do a quick prayer and make it sound good and sit down and hope nobody saw that nothing happened. You know what I'm talking about. Then when you have to get in there with them into all the mess and the mire and begin to pray them out and then pray for someone and see them heal right there. And they just bust up and start crying and just screaming and shouting because God. And you go, wow, thank you, Lord. And begin to see people that have been all lacerated and cut up, God begin to heal them and their emotions, where they can open up and love and trust again. It's been good. It was good to see a group of people that well, have all seen, like the baptism, people try to minister the baptism, Holy Ghost. Hold on, let go, cry out, pray, repeat after me, all this type of, I mean, they had all that. They were scared to death. They were scared of the gifts. They were scared of the moving of the Spirit because they had been abused so much. And then begin to see them open up. Begin to see them share different things. One of them will share a little word of knowledge or something. Wow, that turned out to be accurate. Somebody share this. God minister to this one. It's been nice. It's been good. So sometimes we have to endure what? Hardness as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. I got to meditating this morning as I was preparing. I said, Lord, what am I going to say to these people? What am I going to say? You know, I like to have everything neatly noted out. I haven't got to anything that I jotted down real quick this morning. But there was one thing that he spoke to my heart as I was driving up here. Word intimacy. Intimacy with the Lord. And we'll continue on with that here, and hopefully as I can get to it. I don't know what to do, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I was meditating on David this morning. And I was thinking how, as he had fled out into the wilderness, seeking refuge, all those that were disgruntled, all those that were in a mess, came to him. Right? And there's times when we're trying to get away from situations and circumstances, and who comes around us? Who does God bring to us? The needy. And I was reflecting on Jesus this morning. Remember, they'd been walking, and they came to a well down at Samaria, I believe. I didn't look up all my references. They were hungry, and they were tired, and he sat down at the well to rest, and the boys went to get something to eat. And this woman came, had five husbands, and guess what he started doing? He was physically tired. And he began to minister to her. And then by the time the disciples got back, what did he say? I've already had lunch, boys. I've had something to eat that you can't see. And it's in giving that we receive. It says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Great for money. Great for this. Great for that. But what's the most important thing to give? Ourselves. What are people looking for? What do people come after? Why do they come to you? They're looking for something, aren't they? They're looking for someone that'll care, someone that'll love them, someone that'll accept them and reach them and touch them right where they're at. True? But if we're not careful, in our difficult times, we'll want to push them away. But let us remember that Jesus, and even in his times of tiredness, physical tiredness, he still gave. We need to learn to give what God has given to us. Sometimes we have an overflow, and it's fun to minister out of the overflow. But there's times when we poured and we poured and we poured and we poured out everything we've got. You go, God, there's nothing left of me. There's nothing left. Then what can pour? Him. None of us left. Okay, let us look at Exodus 33. You know, I almost fell into a trap. Y'all don't mind me being open, do you? Transparent? It's all right to be transparent. I used to scare the people back at my church. I'd start telling them things about, you know, inner workings of how you work out things in your own life and how you come to wrestle with the scripture and how to apply it in your own life and your struggles and failures and successes and things. And they'd look at me, I can't believe he's telling us those things. It's all right. Can't we be open about how we learn to walk in the things of God? How are we going to learn? I used to go to so many meetings, and the minister would stand up. He's got everything together. He's got the nice suit. I didn't wear the vest. It's too hot. He's got the nice suit on and everything, and he looks like it's got it all together. He comes up like this. Now do it. And then you walk away. Boy, wasn't that good? And then you get home in the nitty-gritty of life, and you go, how come I'm not able to do this? It takes some time. It says working out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. It takes some work to work out some of these things. They don't automatically just bam-o. I think we're in such an instantaneous generation that we want microwave Christianity. Yes, there it is. Let's claim it. It's mine. It's the promise in the book. Yes, it is. And yes, it is ours right now in present reality in Christ. But it takes a little bit of time to work that out into our soul, where our soul comes under subjection to what the Spirit of God residing in us knows is truth. We have to allow our soul to come under the dominion of the Spirit of God in us. It takes a little bit of time. I came up here, I was sitting back, the Lord's been ministering to me, just been resting, been listening to some of the messages. I watched Brother Bill. Glory to God. I mean, he's just getting after it. He's all excited. Brother Chuck sharing revelation. I'm going, wow. Other one sharing, I'm sitting back going, what in the world do I have worthwhile sharing? Look at these guys. Look how good they can do. What do I have to say to any of these folks up here? I just sit back and be quiet. Hey, it's real. I mean, it's real things we feel at times. And how many of y'all sit back and come and be ministered to? See Brother Noel praying over somebody, casting this devil out. Glenn, get a hold of somebody. Hey, come out in Jesus' name. And you go, oh, I wish I could do that. I know somebody who really needs that. Look at them. They seem to have it all together and they can preach, but look. How can I be effective in my little town and family? And what do? We end up comparing ourselves to each other. Comparing ourselves among ourselves. And it says in the Word of God that we're not wise if we do that. And Lord reminded me of that little scripture. He says, what about this? And I go, yeah, Lord, but I just don't feel all excited. I just don't feel like I've got a great something to share. I don't feel like I'm the dynamic preacher today. He says, hey, I've made you who I've made you. Amen. You don't have to be like anybody else. You don't have to teach like anybody else. You don't have to share like anybody else. Or preach or act like anybody else, but who I've made you. And I go, okay. Okay, I'll just be me. And I'll just share some of the things that you told me. And I think that that's a thing that all of us need to keep in the back of our minds. Now, some people are a ball of fire, aren't they? I mean, they'll get you all excited and want to swing from the chandelier. And other people will have you sitting there crying. One will have you up, one will have you down, one will have you swinging, one will have you hollering, one will have you laughing. They're all different manifestations in the way the Spirit God works in our life. Somebody may have a gift of mercy. Boy, look at how merciful they are and how they're able to deal with that person. I'd like to just wring that person's neck off. And how in the world can they put up with them? One person may always just seem to have the right word of knowledge at the right time. And you don't have it, but you've got mercy. Hey, he gives different gifts to different people as he wills. Because we're a body. Can you see this little hand? If you chop this hand off and put it up here and say, okay, hand, go to work. How's it going to preach? Hello? How are you going to get around if you don't have legs? What about bones? Any of y'all ever seen your bones? Not for a long time. How about kidneys? Seen your kidneys recently? Your gallbladder. How about that liver? Seen that liver recently? Not since last year. Yeah, let's look at the liver here. But you see your face every time you look in the mirror, don't you? And you hear your mouth talking, sometimes too regular. But you know, there's parts of the body that are absolutely essential that you don't see them sometimes. How would we get along without our kidneys, brother? Huh? How about that pancreas? We'd be in a mess, wouldn't we? Can you do this without bones? Bones don't talk very often, do they? But if they break, they talk real loud. But they're essential for our support as a body, aren't they? Every one of us has an important part and a function we play in the revelation of Jesus to other people. Did you hear that? Every one of us has an important function in the revelation of Jesus to other people.
Amen.
You know, who's sufficient for this thing? Sister, some were like the savor of life unto life, were a sweet-smelling perfume. Some we smell like death. We come around, it says, death to your flesh. And who's sufficient for all these things? Another place in Corinthians says, we're not sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who has made us able ministers. Not of the letter. You can beat people all over the head all day long, but of the Spirit. The Spirit of God will take the Word of God and apply it to the heart to set someone free. The letter will come and beat them down and won't set them free. We'll put them under condemnation. Let's look at Exodus 33, starting in verse 8. I'm going to get to this yet. Help me, Lord. I believe. 33, and what did I say? 33 and 8. Exodus 33 and 8. Oh, that's Genesis. No wonder it doesn't look right. No, I'll beat me there. Lord, I don't know where I am. 33 and 8. Okay, let's try this one. And it came to pass when Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. Came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, a cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. The Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaks unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, this young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. I begin meditating on that. As a friend speaks to his friend, think about that in your relationship with God. Moses did it. He says, we have a better covenant with better promises.
Amen.
Can we not look at him face to face? James talks about a man beholding the Word is in his face in a mirror, looking into the Word, and he sees what type of man he is. That's twofold. One, he sees what God wants to change according to his Word. And the second fold is that he sees who he is. We see into the face of Jesus and we begin to see who we really are as born-again creatures and sons of God. If we do not see him and look intently into him, we'll look to everything else to try to figure out who we are and what we are. How many people run from relationship to relationship trying to find love? They have so many toys. They got this, they got this, they buy this, they buy that, and they don't have it for long, and guess what? It no longer brings the fulfillment. They're all searching for something. Every one of us are searching for something. You know, they talk about that God-shaped hole that's in us that nothing can fill but God. I believe it's true. He created us with eternity in our hearts. Eternity, a hunger for eternal realm. Why have the people gone into supernatural things and the occult things? Many times it's because they've not seen the power of God and seen the real Jesus. They've seen a religious Jesus. They've seen a church Jesus. They've seen an intellectual Jesus. They've seen a business Jesus. But how about Jesus with skin on? Said the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We touched Him and handled Him, the Word of life. He walked with the disciples. But guess who's come back to be with us? But now the Holy Spirit is not only going to be with us, but He's going to be in us. And He's raised us up together with Him and seated us in heavenly places, far above all these things down here that try to pull us aside. God wants intimacy in our relationship with Him. We cannot fulfill the desires of our heart with anything other than Him. It's just not going to satisfy. Think about it. Face to face. And what did all the people do as Moses went in and talked to the Lord face to face? There's a lot of tents in here, and there's a lot of tents out there. And they come up to the door of the tent where you come to talk to people. And they begin to worship God because God is revealed through us. God wants to manifest Himself through us as a living, resurrected Christ. People have put Jesus, some people still see Him in the grave, some people have Him on the cross, some people still see Him as a baby, some people see Him risen in the heavens, some people see Him everywhere. But where He is, where it counts for other people right now, living and ruling and reigning in us and revealing Himself through us to other people. We couldn't do it if He hadn't raised from the dead, He hadn't died, He hadn't borne any of those other things. But where the rubber meets the road is what do people see when they see us? Ever seen folks, some older folks that begin to look alike? I'll take my shoe off and put it in easy, huh? I've seen folks that begin to look alike. I've even seen people that have some of these little dogs that begin to look like the little dogs. They begin to, some of them act like them. I mean, but things that you're around a lot and get close to, sometimes you begin to become like them, don't you? Yes, I've known people that they have their little dogs, and I think they got the dog spirit sometimes. They'll bark at anything. You try to say anything. Okay, I'll move right along. Oh, my goodness, I'm in trouble. We look in the face of pain sometimes. You've looked in the face of death. You've looked in the face of all kinds of things, haven't you? You ever looked into a face of hope, encouragement? Yeah, there's all kinds of faces you look into. I've looked at people. Don't see the people sometimes. I see other things in the people. You look at them and it's just like, I hate you. Well, I just love you too. You look into the face of lots of things, and what does it try to do? It tries to influence you many times, doesn't it? But as we begin to look into the face of Jesus, we begin to be influenced by Him. So many times in my walk with the Lord, I've wrestled with things and I see things. I say, God, I see this in the Word, but how do I do it? And I've been praying, and all of a sudden, I see a man of God or a woman of God. And I'm just observing them. I like to watch people. And I observe this person, and I see that Scripture fulfilled in their life. I see the character exuding from that person of that Scripture. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I've seen people that have just been a picture of patience. The way that they're able to respond to irritating situations. The way that they're able to respond to people that still try to grate on my insides. And they're able to respond back with such grace. That's a Scripture lived out. And I sit there and I watch it and I go, yes, now I see it. Now I see it. And I can take it to heart, and it's mine. And there's something in seeing the living out of the Word that I might go take it and say, yes, now it's mine. There's times that I have not been able to see Jesus just straight on for myself. Hello. There's times when we haven't. We see it and say, yeah, Lord. Yeah, I see it. Yeah, I understand it, but there's something lacking. And then we see that and go, yes, that's it. And it clicks. And I believe God wants us to come closer and closer to Him where we begin to see into His character. I remember one time I had a vision of the Lord. And I remember I was looking at His face. And I looked into His eyes. And it was eternity. It was like looking into eternity. I guess it's the closest words to describe. But I saw something that the psalmist spoke about, the beauty of holiness. And at that point in my life, I had been wrestling with, I was the most legalistic person you could imagine. I could make a saved man feel like he was going to hell. Oh, man. Hell, I'd preach hell hot. Sin, I mean, you missed it one time, you're loving the devil and you're going to hell. Hello? Nobody's ever been religious and Mr. Condemnation and taking that sword and beating people over the head with it. And I took the, and I mean, but the worst part was, is I was as hard on myself and harder than I was anybody else. And the Word ate my lunch. I mean, I couldn't do anything without Scriptures just killing me, just beating me to death. And I was just about to die because I love the Lord. But I couldn't endure with His Word because I was trying to be holy. I had struggled and I had strived and I had tried to be holy. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. Nobody's ever been that way, have you? Most people just end up, what? Giving up and trying to be a good person and hoping they make it to heaven. Because they've never been able to measure up. But that day when I looked into His eyes and I saw the beauty of holiness, I saw holiness as something totally different than what I had seen before. Because I thought holiness was living up to all these regulations and demands and commands and all this other stuff. But then as I saw Him, I saw holiness as a person. Holiness as a character. Holiness was something that was so beautiful, so good. I mean, I just kind of go, oh, that is so good. And it's so free. It's so freeing. It's so pure. It's just, I just wanted it just for what it was. And I said, yes, that's what I want. That's what I need. But up to that point, all I had seen was what the Word was saying, and I was trying to figure it out with my own understanding. But that day, I saw something alive. And God wants His Word to be alive to us so that it's not something that we've just read. Not something that we've just studied. Not something that we've just heard preached and agree with it. Yes, that's right. But it's to be something that we experience. True? Experience. Being the Son of God. I've met people. Sons of God doctrine. The kingdom message. Some people I've seen and read some of the works that people have got a hold of that. And man, they're puffed up and they're somebody. They're a son of God. And they've understood it with the head. And boy, they can preach it to you and tell you who you are. And live and never die. All these things. And we're going to defeat death and we're going to do all this. And I look. And I look at the character and I look at how they deal with people and I think, they've got the revelation, but I wonder if they've got the experience. God wants us to experience it. And Scripture talks about us being kings and priests of God. Yeah, we're kings and priests. And we're going to rule and reign with Him. But He was also a king as He was here. But He said, my kingdom is not of this world. I'm not looking for a place to rule and reign. But His kingdom is a kingdom in the hearts of men, where that His character ended up coming out of them. And the kingdom that He gives us as we're working in it now is for us to lay down our lives for one another. Be a king that begins to exercise authority in our life and in the lives around us, putting under feet the powers of darkness so that the people can walk free. And as a priest, we're to get under the people and to lift them up before the Father. Amen. It's not a place for us to be somebody, but it's a place for Him to be somebody in us. He said, I didn't come to do my own will. Did He? He said, but I came to do the will of my Father. He says, as I hear my Father speaking, what do I do? He said, that's what I speak. As I see my Father working, as I see my Father doing, that's what I do. He says, that I of my own self can do nothing. And so we are to be a manifestation of Jesus. But it's not going to come unless we look intently into Him. We can look to everybody and everything else for the hope and the help. Hoping to get a quick fix. Hoping that this next teacher is going to impart just that next step of revelation or whatever it is that we need to get to whatever it is. But what's the real next step? Looking unto Jesus. looking unto him, being intimate and close in a relationship with him. Thinking about the Song of Solomon, you know, where is he whom my soul loves? My soul longs for. And I was thinking about that. I know it's taken in two ways. Many times it's taught as an allegorical story of our relationship with the Lord, or it's taught as the Lord's love for Israel, or it's taught as a natural love song. It doesn't matter. There's still the point of the affections. And what are our affections tied to? What pulls the chord strings of our heart? Hello? What pulls the chord strings of our heart? Can the gentle breeze of His Spirit pull the chord strings of our heart? Or are we going to continue on with the busyness and the things that we have to get done? When His Spirit begins to gently pull us to the side and says, take a little time to pray. Do we say, I'll do it at the end of the day. I've got my prayer time already lined out at the end of the day. What about I'll take care of that later. Do we yield to Him? Or do we stick Him in the categories of our mind and do it when we get time and get everything lined out? We're to be a people that are what? Led by the Spirit of God. Said the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Many people want to be sons of God, daughters of God, kings, priests, manifest sons, rule and reign. We're going to take dominion. Unfortunately, it seems to be taken and used after the same principles of the world. Don't we? Don't we? That's not where it's at. Colossians 2 and 3 talks about in Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I was thinking also, how many times we come to the Lord seeking for things? Yeah, it's all right to pray for things. It's all right to make our requests known to God, tell Him what our needs are. It's all right. But you know what I really enjoy? It's just sitting down and fellowshipping with Him and not having to talk about any of the church problems, any of the things that got going on, any of the needs I've got in my own life, but just to sit down and visit with Him and talk to Him. You know what I'm talking about? Isn't that much more refreshing than going in with all our requests and all our needs and all our everything? I found at times I've had lots of things that I really thought were important to pray for, and I just put them aside and just said, Lord, I just want to talk to You today. I just want to fellowship with You. By the time I got done, just in a flash of a moment, He can show me all those other things and said, oh, by the way, these are all taken care of. I hadn't even had to waste my time with that. It's much better. Why do we have friends? For what we need out of them? Is that why we have friends? You know, many people do. Many people have friends when they're in need. Oh, you're their friend when they're in need, but when everything's going good. Good to see you today, brother. But where's the real friendship? Have we done the Lord like that at times? We get caught up in the activities of our days. We get caught up in the busyness. All the important things. Yeah, we love the Lord. Yeah, we try to obey His Word. Yeah, we do what's right. But is that our being? Just hitting home with anybody? Everybody's quiet this morning. I'm getting hot. I'm going to take this off. I might get excited and start preaching here. I have been known to do that. I've even jumped up on pews and run over pews and screamed and hollered. So I'm not going to put you to sleep, I hope. But seek ye what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all the things that we need are going to be added to us. He says, seek that first. Why do we come to the Lord in our prayer time? Why do we come to His Word trying to get an answer? Why are you trying to get this? Oh, God, I need this. Oh, God, seek first Him and His righteousness and all the rest. He was talking about natural things in the world. How much more the concerns of our heart is He going to begin to answer? We have to have a place of intimacy. When you're in an intimate relationship with somebody, you don't always come in and address off what you first need. Say, well, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. Yeah, what's your friend going to do? What's your husband or wife going to do if you come in and say, well, I need you to do this, I want you to do this, 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 well, I need this, I'm going to do this. And thank you. They're going to look at you like, what is your deal? Who have you been today? Have you just not had a good day? Hey, what about me? Hey, what about me? You want me to do all these things, but what about me? Why don't you visit with me? Why don't you take some concern with me? Did you even think about how to ask me how my day was? Hello. Amen. Oh, the Psalms 27. I'm just going to get on a roll now, I think. Psalms 27. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Come on. Psalms 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who will I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Boy, I am glad He is the strength of my life, because I've run out time after time after time after time. And He's able to what? Carry me. I like that little thing that, what is it, the footprint one? The guy looks back and says, well, Lord, I've seen this one step of footprints. Where were you during those times? Boy, He's carried me a many a time. Many a time. I remember after I got out of the mental institutions and came home. Me? All the drugs I used to be on? Me? The alcohol I used to be on? Oh, man, at least a six-pack a night from school, and I'd go to college. I'd get stoned before I'd go to class. Oh, my. Messed me up, though. Put me in institutions, getting involved in a cult, getting wiped out. 3 months after I got home out of the institutions, I remember crying, just trying to figure out how to get the toothpaste out of the tube onto the brush. Whoever thinks about those things. Oh, God, help me. What do I do? How do I make my arms, how do I make all this stuff work? We don't even think about them things. Boy, He carried me from a long way. I couldn't even hardly remember 3 words in sequence out of what I'd read in the Bible. I had things throw me out of bed. I had things, you know, try to choke me, kill me. They're real. But I had somebody, you know, when the pastors thought I was a nut, my friends thought I'd crazy. Mom and Daddy loved me, but they wondered about me too. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And He's able to be a strength to us and to lead us out of situations that maybe nobody else, we think, could understand. It's real when you get something come in and just literally choke you, and you're sitting there going, oh, and you can't do nothing. You can't even utter the word Jesus, and your mind's going, oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And finally, its grip begins to loose, and then you go, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh. And then the presence of the Lord floods around and drives it all out. He's somebody that can help you. He's a strength. Where am I going, Lord? Help me. The strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Why do we need to fear? Hadn't He been faithful in leading us every other time? Hasn't He been faithful every other time when we've been in a mess and we couldn't see any way out? And He says, I'll make a way where there seems to be no way. He made a way through the wilderness. He fed them with manna and water that came out of a rock in a barren and desolate wilderness. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people, some up to 6 million, they think. Fed all those folks. Let me see Mr. Coffee do that. Three million people. Feed them every day, brother. Hey, I can't do it. But there's a God who can. You ain't got any more money in the bank account? Well, maybe it'll just be like the meal and the oil that the widow had. Be faithful in ministering to the Lord with what you have, and He'll be sure that your meal don't run out and the oil don't run out. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Boy, isn't that nice? That when the powers of darkness come to assail you and just to torment you and give you a hard time and say, you're not going to make it out of this one. Bye-bye. Bow your knee to Jesus. Every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow that He is Lord. And if we serve Him and we're intimate with Him and have a face-to-face relationship with Him, then guess what the powers of darkness have to do with our word? As we speak as the oracles of God. Though a host should encamp around about me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. My goodness, that psalmist knew what he was talking about. He knew what to look after. He knew what to hunger and thirst after. For in the time of trouble, it says, after all this, then when I run into trouble, He's going to be there. Unfortunately, many people run to Him just when they get in a time of trouble. Say, oh, God, oh, I love You so much, Lord. Come and help me, oh, Jesus.
Now, don't everybody look sanctimonious this morning. Don't everybody keep stone face, because I've been guilty. And it says we've all been tempted in like manner, haven't we?
Amen.
I mean, it isn't some strange thing that it's happened to me. But all of us have done it. We've got lack sometimes, and then something will happen. Oh, God! Isn't it much better to be close to Him all the time, and then when trouble comes, thank you, Lord, that you're going to take care of this too. In the time of trouble, He's going to hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle, He's going to hide me. He'll set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore, I will offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises unto the Lord. David, remember as he was out in the wilderness one time, and I believe it was the Amalekites came and took away all the wives and the children and all their stuff, and Ziklag, where was it? Wherever it was, hard word. And then all the boys that were with David. David, look what you've done now. And they all turned against him. It stoned him. Stoned him with many stones. They were ready to get him. And there's times that folks may turn on you. But what did he do?
Oh, God.
No, he said he encouraged himself in the Lord. Right here, the psalmist is saying, hey, when I get in trouble, He's going to hide me. He's going to do this, and I'm going to shout and sing for joy. He's already proclaiming what He's going to do. Most of us wait until we're in the midst of a situation to figure out what we're going to do. Most people, that's how they deal with temptation. They wait until they're already tempted to the place where they're ready to give in, and then they'll try to decide if they're going to do it or not. You need to have a plan figured out ahead of time what you're going to do when you're tempted before you even get into it. You need to look down the road, recognize the weaknesses that you've had in your life, recognize where the enemy has come, begin to make preparations, what you're going to do if something comes up and how you're going to deal with it so you've got something already ready. You go into the middle of a war and go out there and standing right down on the front lines and there the enemy is and you go, let's see. I think I need this tool. I think I'm going to need a sword today. And I think I'm going to need a machine gun. And I might need a shield, too. Here, let me go back and get these. I see what it is. Oh, yes. Is that how we're going to do a war? My goodness, I hope not. But many people with sin and temptations in their life, discouragement, despair, fear, all these things, people just run right into them time and time again. And what do? Oh, God, help me. Hey, He's given us power and authority over all the power of the enemy. He's given us exceeding great and precious promises so that we can be partakers of His divine nature, having escaped the corruptions that are in the world through lust. He's given us things that we can use so that we can do something instead of falling into it every time. Do we think about those things? Prepare. Prepare. So that when it's going to come, say, Lord, I thank You that we're going to go through victorious because You've given me the strategy and plan for how to overcome these things in my life. I'm not going to fall an innocent dupe and victim to these things anymore. Just like anger. How many of you are worry or any of these other fear? If you'll examine that thing, that demon comes and he begins a certain order of working things in your soul. He begins to do certain things to you, certain pattern that he works in different people's lives. And if you begin to recognize the first pattern that he's doing, then what can you do? Hey, man, off of the pass. You need to head that thing off at the pass and not wait till it all on top of you. Oh, God, give me strength. Help me, Lord. You see the difficulties I'm in. Okay. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and have mercy also upon me and answer me. When You said, Lord, seek my face. My heart said unto You, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. I think that's what He's saying to us today. Seek my face. And our hearts should respond back by saying, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Do not hide Your face far from me. Do not put Your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Mom and Daddy are usually the last ones to give up on you. And if they don't, many of them precede us to glory. And they're gone. But the Lord doesn't. Friends may move away. People may get angry and no longer your friend.
Some turn their back on you and even try to do things against you. But the Lord will take us up. Oh, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you that you take us up. Thank you, Lord. You are so good to us. Oh, bless you, Lord. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. I was meditating about the children of Israel and Moses and the Lord. Said the children of Israel saw the works of the Lord. Saw the great miracles and saw the things they did. Saw the things he did. But what happened when things got tough? Can he bring us food out here? Can he supply all our needs? Can he do this? Can he do that? They saw all the miracles. Some people say, well, if I see a miracle, then I'll believe. Jesus said, even if somebody came back from the dead, if they won't believe the Word of God, they're not going to believe it even if somebody came back from the dead. If we can't believe what He said because of who He is, we can see all kinds of things all our life. Be just like the children of Israel. We'll enjoy the blessings of God and we'll enjoy partaking of them. But when the difficulty hits, oh God, can you do it again? But it says of Moses, he showed him his ways. Think about that a moment. But to Moses, he revealed his ways. One of my prayers, as I pray, I said, Lord, show me your way that I can walk in it. I love to see the miracles. I love to see it when people are delivered, when they're blessed, when they're touched. That's great. I love it. I want to know his ways. Because I'm the one that has to stand before the Lord. Each of us will have to stand. Think about that for a moment. And I want to have been walking right. Talking right. Had the right heart. Right attitudes. Started to say it scares me to death. I want you. But it scares me to life. Okay, it scares me to life to stand up here and minister. I remember, it's been years ago, 15 years ago, I guess, when I first started preaching. Boy, I was ready, man. I knew the truth, and I was ready for the preacher to move on over, buddy. Because I've got the word for today. That wasn't hardly any message he preached today. I had the message, and it would have been powerful. Ah. Boy. Guess what? It's fun to go out and do that, but when the weight of responsibility begins to fall on you, it is a terrifying thing. The scripture talks about a teacher is going to be held doubly accountable. And I think, God, what if I get up there and say something and share something that's wrong? What if I have the wrong attitude? Lord, cleanse my heart. Purify my motives. I don't want to share it unless you want me to share it. I don't want to preach it unless you want me to preach it. I want to do it because I'm doing it unto you. I don't care if they like my preaching or not. Well, that's not totally true. But in the final, you know, we all like to be appreciated in life. We like people to receive something. But the main thing is I want to hear my Father say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest. And it's Him that we need to look to please. How many times have we done things, shared things, even changed the way that we do things so that we will please a certain person? Know what I'm talking about? Never done it, have you? Boy, everybody must be guilty. Not a head's moving. Every hand is just standing there, not doing anything. It's like, I hope he's not looking at me. Well, we've all done it. We've all done it. I've even been guilty of it. I want to kick myself sometimes when I've done it. And I say, well, kicking myself's not going to help. But seeing Him and looking into Him will. Because as I begin to see how much He wants me and how much He enjoys me, and I don't want to do anything to grieve His heart. Ever had a friend like that? You don't want to grieve, you don't want to say something or do something because you don't want to hurt them? Just because you love them, I mean a husband or a wife or a boyfriend or girlfriend, you love them. And you don't want to hurt them. So you're very gentle with your words, where with somebody else, you'd chop them up and dice them up and spit them up.
They call the Ronco Christians. Slice them and dice them and spit them out, huh? They're cannibal Christians. They bite and devour one another. Moving right along. All right. I was thinking also about John 15:7. Let's turn there. John 15:7. I feel like today I have several different little short messages. I'm just kind of stringing them together here with a sort of a common theme. So if you don't get something out of this one, maybe the next one here in a few minutes, you'll get something out of it. John 15 and 7. Luke, John. Did I say that? Yeah, John. 15 and 7. If you abide in me, abiding. Think about that. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you want, what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Here is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do whatever I command you to do. John 14, starting at 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him. But we can because we can see him. Neither does it know him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to come to you. Yet a little while and the world doesn't see me anymore, but you see me because I live, you shall live also. At that time you shall know that I am in my Father and you are in me. I really like this 21st one. This is the one I want you to catch. He says, he that has my commandments and keeps them, this is the one that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I will manifest myself to him. I will make myself known to him. I will reveal myself to him. I like that. I like that. I like serving a God that I don't have to just try to do it because it's in the book, but because I get to see him and know who he is. How many days was Jesus here on the earth after he rose from the grave? 40 days. He walked with his disciples again. He talked to them. He came and met some of them by the side of the sea, fixed some fish to eat. He met the two on the road to Emmaus as they were walking along, and he came up alongside of them. He began talking with them, and he began to expound to them things out of the word of the Lord. And then as he broke the bread, they recognized and saw who he was. He appeared unto Saul, who became Paul. He appeared unto many people. I've read church history, not all of it. And I've read, I think about the prophets in the Old Testament, the Lord coming and visiting with them. Abraham talking to the Lord, the original Jew, down from 50 to 10, talking to him. Time after time, the prophets, the men of God would talk to the Lord. Angels would come and bring messages. And I thought, man, wouldn't it have been neat to live in those times when God was doing those things? We said if we love him, his Father will love us, and he'll come and he will manifest himself to us. He's not just a God of the Old Testament, giving visions to Ezekiel and showing him the wheel and the wheel, calling another out and prophesying over the thing of dry bones. The prophet sitting in the city, surrounded by the army, his little servants there. Oh, Master, Master, the army's all around about us. Oh, Lord, open his eyes that he can see. And he opened his eyes and he saw the chariots of the Lord and the horsemen thereof. Does that have to be left in the past? No. God wants us to see him and know him in a personal way, to know him, to have encounters with him, not be trying to relate to some God off in the sky, but to a God right here. He comes to live within us, to rule and reign in our souls and in our body. and to live His life through us so that others can see Him. Think about it. Selah. Ephesians 1:6. I'll start at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's where we need to be, folks. Looking intently into Him. Set your mind on things above where Christ is. Yeah, positionally we're seated with Him in the heavenlies, but He wants us to experientially know what it's like to be seated with Him in the heavenlies. While our feet are walking around down here in these clay vessels. But our heart and soul is united with Him. So that we're fellowshipping with Him in the heavenlies while we're walking around down here and talking to other folks. So we're an ambassador. Yeah, we're down here, but the rest of us is up there. They talk about people too heavenly minded to do any earthly good. I disagree with that. I understand what they're saying. I've heard a lot, I've seen and heard, and I used to be one of them spiritual flakes, you know, out there in the ether world and somewhere way out in the netherlands that you can't relate or talk to anybody. But we're to be so heavenly minded so we can be earthly good. Because if we're not heavenly minded, we can't be about the work of the Master. We can't be any good for the kingdom if we're not full of heaven. If we're not full of heaven, that would be a mighty strange place for us to go when we leave outside of this body. I believe that heaven should be a place that we're familiar with now. I haven't seen, there's different thoughts on the mansions and all these things and the streets of gold. I know a lot of the different thoughts on those. Some say heaven's just wherever Jesus is and all this, but He did say He was going to prepare a place for us. And I believe that once we're absent from this body, we'll be present with the Lord, and things will be different when we're there than the natural realm around about us. However it's going to be, I think it should not be a place that we are unfamiliar with in the way that it operates, in the way that the Lord does things. It should be a place where we're familiar with the spirit of it, so that we're acting and living out of that spirit while we're here. Right? The kingdom of heaven is where? Within us. Most people have more of the kingdom of hell than they do the kingdom of heaven. Hello. Look at the fruit of your own life. Look at the fruit of our lives. If we see something being produced in our life that is not the character of the Lord, that says we've been looking into something else other than the face of the Lord. Our hearts need to be drawn out to Him and Him alone, and that He'll fulfill all the rest of the requests and needs that we have. John, 1 John, I believe it is, says, love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. For all that's in the world is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These things will pass away, and the world will too. But those that do the will of the Father will abide forever. I don't believe that there's sanctification in the grave, if you happen to go that way. I'd prefer to be like Enoch myself. He walked with God, and then he just was not. He got a little too much of heaven in him one day and just kind of went somewhere else. That'd be all right. That's what I'm desiring. But many people aren't there. They have that hope, they think, but they walk around with enough of another kingdom in them where I wonder what's going to happen when they meet that day. Because you see that other kingdom manifest in them, and you know that they're not getting as close as Enoch was. And then they think, oh, well, God's grace is going to cover. One day I'll go through the grave and I'll make it, and all this other stuff will fall away. Well, it wouldn't be on you and in you if the heart wasn't in agreement with it. Hello. Do you know that? Most people's problems with demonic spirits is because their heart has been in agreement and enjoying the sin. They want the demons cast out. There are cases, I've seen many cases, people have been involved in sin, especially sins of witchcraft, sins of sexual promiscuity. They come to the Lord and are trying to serve the Lord with all their heart, and because of their involvement in the past, there's strongholds that have been in their life, and they need help. But I've seen many people come set free because they've repented and chose to serve the Lord Jesus with their whole heart. Because Jesus was able to say, the devil comes and he has nothing in me. And I believe that He wants to wash us with His blood to the place where we are clean. It said if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from how much unrighteousness?
All.
All? So we can love the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbors ourself? That's where the rubber hits the road, folks. I am so thankful for deliverance. I thank God for healing. I thank God for all the benefits. But isn't divine health better than healing? Isn't walking clean and pure and holy before God better than needing deliverance? I believe as we begin to look intently into His face, we can begin to manifest Him where the other things aren't manifest. But the other side of it, I was thinking, you ever had people you loved and cared for, and then they turn cold toward you? What does it do to your heart? What does it do to your heart when somebody you've loved and been cared for begins to be cold toward you? Just sticking a knife in your gut. Wrestle with the feelings of, man, what's wrong with me? And all the feelings of rejection that try to hit, and all, you know, just the plethora of different spirits that try to hit you. They go along with the natural grief. And then I began to think about the Lord, and I thought, I wonder how much He grieves at times when our heart begins to go after other things. How much His heart longs to fellowship with us when we go seeking fellowship in other places. Seeking for satisfaction outside of Him. My. Intimacy solves rejection, solves loneliness, solves all them problems. Because once you get close enough to Him, you may feel a little tinge of someone rejecting you. You may feel a little pain and cry it out and pray it out. Jesus was deeply touched when He was weeping over the city of Jerusalem. He said, I would have gathered you unto myself as a hen gathers all her little chicks, but you would not. That hurt. And I think it hurts, too, when we don't respond to His drawings. Think of the price He paid to get us. And then we just kind of snuff in His face and go after something else. Not trying to lay a condemnation trip on you. But we need to look at things sometimes. I learned a little song one time. One of the first songs I started playing on the guitar. I had one of them old little books. It said, Jesus, lover of my soul. Some of y'all may know that one. I thought about that, and I thought of the words. I was also thinking about the relationship that Jesus had with many of the people. He ministered to the multitudes, fed them. They came back for something to get. Gave the 70 power and authority, cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead, and they came back. Oh, glory be to God, we can cast out devils. Big deal. That's just part of what we're supposed to be doing as a normal Christian. That's just normal Christianity. Rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He had the 12 that He called to be with Him. Think about that. Out of all the people on the earth, He called 12 men to be with Him. He calls us to be disciples. Who says God didn't have favorites? Seems like He always taken Peter, James, and John off to something He left the other boys behind. John, sitting at the table, somebody's going to betray Him. Peter goes, hey, John, you talk to Him. You ask Him. You hear what I'm saying? I think as we respond to the heart of the Lord, to the man who has, more is going to be given. To the man that hears, to the measure that he hears, God's going to give more. And as we begin to respond to His heart toward us, He begins unfolding more and more of Himself. And that's where the Christian life begins to be more of a joy. Instead of always striving against sin, striving against this and wrestling with this person, wrestling with this and wrestling with that. Yes, I still wrestle with demonic things at times that come against me, wrestle with things over other people's lives, but it sure is a lot easier just coming and fellowshipping with Him, and His presence comes in the room and bye-bye, Mr. Devil. There's a lot of binding and rebuking that I have got spared of because I chose to love the Lord and to fellowship with Him. There's other times I've had to go at it like a bulldog and just stand in the face of the enemy and say, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord. And just stand and stand. But after we've done all, we continue standing and stand and worship Him and love Him and fellowship with Him. And then it seems like the rest of it begins to trickle off to the side, and the enemy that seemed to be so big and the problem that seemed to be so insurmountable. This is the one that troubled all the nations. This is the one that caused me all that problem. This is the one that did all that in my life. Because they were able to see the king and to see the enemy in perspective. Amen? We have a formidable foe. He's not to be trifled with. But we have a God that's much, much bigger. Amen? Amen. Bill, how about let's closing with that song, More of You. I like that song. Let's don't be like the Western civilization around us being a surface people, but let's be a heart people. Western society is so impersonal. So impersonal. God wants us to be personal with Him, and personal with other folks. Intimacy. Knowing Him face to face. Hallelujah. More of You.
Tell you, as time goes on, that's the cry of my heart.
Hallelujah.
More of You, Jesus. More of You. We don't have enough of Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord.
We all need more of Jesus.
Amen.
We seek to know Him to the fullest.
Yes, Father.
More than we do yesterday or more today. And we know more of His will and His way so that we can be that which we've been called to be. We've all been called just to be, not called to be somebody famous and big. Maybe some people are, but I don't think any of us here are. We're just called to be a testimony of Jesus. More of Jesus, more of Jesus. Oh, my heart cries out for more of Jesus. In the night season and in the day, to know Him more. Know we can lay hands, we can impart, we can speak the word, and it shall be. I've heard of things of yesterday. I've seen things of yesterday. My desire is for today.
Yes.
For today. The anointing and the presence and the power of the living God. To flow out of each one of us as we hold up and declare the name of Jesus. We need more of Jesus. Jesus. Father, we thank you for your care and protection. Thank you for your presence and your anointing. Lord, give us a desire to know you and to know you to a greater measure than we've ever known. May our hearts burn to know thee. Father, we thank you now for the food that they've prepared in the kitchen. We bless them, Lord, as they've labored there. We speak to Tony's foot, Father, healing and restoration. We bind and break the curse of pain. Speak restoration. We speak to all those that are laboring in the kitchen, Father. We speak restoration and healing, Father, to their lives and to their families and to each one of us here.
Yes, Lord.
Make the food a blessing to us. Make it health and strength. We'll be able to testify that Jesus is Lord. We thank you for it. Amen, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.